Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours. Thank you so much for calling in today. So I've got just a couple of announcements before we get started with our question and answer session. First of all, I want to apologize that my electricity went out last week. You know, we were doing just fine, and then all of a sudden, boom, just like that, it went away. I tried to call back in, but I was just not able to get back on the call, so I really apologize for the call ending. We did have a one-hour call, so we got a lot of information in. And just to warn you, it is raining right now. I'm in Boquete, and it's raining right now. Hopefully, we don't have a repeat of what happened last week. I'm not hearing any thunder or anything like that, but you never know. But if we go silent, then you'll know that probably it's because my power went out. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Some other announcements that I have is I just a few minutes ago put up a new article on our website. So if you go to the PanamaRelocationTour.com website and then click on the blog, you'll see a new article about the COVID testing for traveling into Panama. It was actually written by someone that's probably on the line that came on our tour not long ago, and he wanted to come back into Panama. He's already purchased a house, and he was wanting to get back in, but the date to get in here was just a moving target. And Panama does require that you either have a COVID PCR test or an antigen test. There are some other tests that are out there, and you got to make sure you get the right one. So read that article, and it will give you a lot more insight on getting the right test to be able to get on the airplane to come to Panama and then getting into the country once you get here. Those are the main announcements that I had to make. Oh, there was one more thing. In our online Panama relocation guide, there's a new section that we added. It's called self-guided tour. And I've already added the information on how you can do your own self-guided tour. So if you wanted to come to Panama, not be around a crowd of other people, not even have a private tour, you just want to do your own thing and stay isolated away from other people, we now have information about how you can do a private tour in Panama City, in the Coronado area, and in the Azuera Peninsula. By Sunday night, I'll also have Boquete, Volcan, Las Lajas, and some other areas that are going to be added there. So some of the things that are included in the self-guided tour information is who can pick you up at the airport when you first get there. How are you going to get from the airport to wherever you're going to go, whether that's Coronado or Volcan or wherever it is, wherever it's going to be. But how are you going to get from point A to point B? That's included in the self-guided tour. We also have information about what the weather's going to be like in the area that you're going to, so it'll help you pack appropriately. We have information on popular expat hangouts, and if you want to try to meet some expats that live in the area, where to go to meet those expats, shopping that you might want to check out, and it also has a contact for each one of the different areas of someone that can show you some rental properties, because if you're going to move to Panama, you want to see what in the world does a condo look like in Panama? What does an $800 a month rental look like in Boquete? What does a $400 a month rental look like in Volcan? Well, we have contact for each different area of someone that can show you rentals in the price range that you're most interested in. So all those things are available in our online Panama Relocation Guide. And to learn more about the online Panama Relocation Guide, you just need to go to our website, PanamaRelocationTours.com, and then where that bar is up at the top, right in the middle, it says Online Guide. Just click on that and you can see more information. It has all the same information you get on a Panama Relocation Tour. It also includes all of our Rolodex of contacts for reliable immigration attorneys. These are people we worked with for years, and we know they'll do a very good job. It has honest real estate agents, people we've worked with for years, and we know that they will. You won't get any gringo pricing from them. You don't have to worry about it. Also has international movers and how to get your pet into the country, where to get health insurance. The list goes on and on. So it has all the information that you need if you're thinking about relocating to Panama. So those are my big announcements. And now I'm going to go to our questions. If anybody has a question for me, all you need to do is press star 6 on your phone, and that will put you in line to ask a question. The questions are answered first come, first serve. So whoever pressed star 6 first, they get answered first. And then I just keep on going to the next person and the next person. So our first person for a question is Patty. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie. First of all, thanks so much for answering that email I sent you. That was really helpful. So just from a property perspective in Panama, is there a concept among the realtors of an MLS system? And when you're looking for a rental, which I would obviously do first, what's a reasonable amount of time to spend, you know, in the area you want to live in to find a rental property?
So Panama does actually have something that's very similar to an MLS or multiple listing service. However, I would say that probably 90% of the real estate agents of Panama don't use it. So that makes it pretty much worthless. We don't have anything like Zillow, unfortunately. If anybody wants to do a startup in Panama, you should do Zillow for Panama. But so we don't have anything like that. There is an MLS, but they really kind of focus on putting the more expensive houses on there, and it's all stuff for sale. Yeah, mostly things for sale. There's a few rentals, but not many. Craigslist for Panama, it has some very good rental opportunities. Your best bet for finding a rental is probably getting on Facebook. The absolute best way to find a rental is being boots on the ground. So to just come here and stay in a Airbnb or a hotel and go driving around. Get someone you could use the information in an online guide and have someone that would drive you around to go see some rental properties.
So about how long should you plan to, I'm talking about boots on the ground, about how long is a reasonable amount of time to plan to find a rental property?
I would say five to seven days you should be able to find something. Now, if you come in January or February, there's less inventory available, so I'd push that closer to 7 days. But if you contact one of the people in our online Panama Relocation Guide before you get here, they know when you're coming. They'll have things lined up for you to see the day after you arrive, so you can accomplish a whole lot in a short period of time. And I'd say 5 to 7 days, 10 days, if you want to not be out there looking at properties every day and have a little bit more leisure time.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for calling in, Patty. Next caller is Paul. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Yeah, I was wanting to ask about the requirements for the Social Security benefit letter so that it can be apostilled. And I was looking at the Facebook page, and I see all the details here. And your last post is about requesting Form 2458, and that just comes to me with a signature. Is that that's long and the short of it?
So there's actually two parts to it. For you to apply for the pensionado visa, you need proof of your lifetime income. So if you're a U.S. citizen, that could be your Social Security that you're getting, or if you work for a private company, then it might be a pension from that. Same thing with Canadians. You may have a letter that proves what your income is. So previously, you've been able to get that Social Security letter that says what your monthly income is, and there's no signature on there. For you to get something apostilled by the State Department, it needs a signature. So people have had a heck of a time walking into a Social Security office and say, can you please sign this and say that this information is accurate? And they would always say no. So one of the things that our attorney here in Panama had said would work is that you could just have a written statement at the bottom of your Social Security letter that says the information in this letter is accurate, and then get your signature notarized or have an attorney that makes that statement and get that notarized. And then you could send that in to the State Department for the apostille or to the Panamanian consulate for an authentication. I have heard recently from a couple of people that said they did that. That's exactly what they did. They signed a statement, they got it notarized, and then they sent it in, and the State Department rejected it. They said it had to be signed by Social Security. So the way that you can get a Social Security letter signed by someone without going in there and just having a heck of a time getting someone to sign is you call the local Social Security office, and this came from someone in our group that experienced it. Call the local Social Security office, say that you want Form 2458, and it'll be mailed to you. That form will have your income verification, and it'll be signed by someone at Social Security. So then you have your income verification letter and signed by someone, so it'll be easy for you to get the apostille or an authentication. So I hope that answers your question, Paul. Next question is from Garland. Go ahead. Hey, Garland, how are you doing? I hear you're getting ready to get that sailboat going.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, actually, we just, last week I just started my visa process, so I've got our stuff sent in for apostilled and waiting on that to come back. And I just booked my
for you.
Yeah, I just booked our trip today for January 5th to fly down there. So,
fantastic.
So we're getting ready, getting the house ready and everything. Hey, I was researching the medical stuff the other day, and I know they say you can't live in the U.S. more than 180 days to get the international health insurance. But my question is when can you buy the health insurance? Like, as soon as you get there, can you say, hey, I live in Panama now, I want to buy insurance? And how do they know if you're there 180 days or more? You know what I'm saying?
Well, so usually sometimes they're going to want to see your temporary ID card, temporary visa, so that they know that you've applied for a visa to live here. Wouldn't really know if and you don't have to live in Panama, you just have to live overseas. So working, being on a sailboat would be perfect. You can be anywhere, and so long as you're not in the United States. The problem could come in, let's say that you just happen to be back in the United States and your appendix busted, you needed to have emergency surgery. And if there was a dispute with the insurance company about paying it, they might ask to see all the pages in your passport for your passport stamps, so they can look and tell how long you've been in the country. Probably they wouldn't even do that, but it's not worth the chance that maybe they would look at it and then they would deny coverage because you were in the U.S. more than 6 months.
Right. I guess I was curious because, as soon as we get there, though, you can go ahead and purchase it, right? It's just going to be an issue if you happen to go back and get care and they, quote, start disputing it and want to research where you've been the last 6 months or whatever.
Exactly, right. And you may even contact, I don't know, I don't think you can actually buy it until you're in Panama, but you'd have to contact some of the different companies that I've recommended and ask them that question. Everybody that I know that's bought it whenever they were here. I don't think that they'll let your coverage start until you move to Panama. So if you were to buy it now, but you weren't moving to Panama until January, I don't think they would cover you. They wouldn't start the coverage until you actually moved to Panama.
Right. Well, I wouldn't even plan on buying it until I got there. I was just curious if there was going to have to be like a 180-day wait, in Panama or outside of the states before they would even let you buy it.
Nope, there's no wait. I got mine. I was probably here less than a week whenever I bought it the first time. So just once they know that you're here, then you can go ahead and buy it.
Okay. Well, another thing, Jenny's been looking every day for house sitting somewhere there, maybe Boquete or pretty much anywhere in Panama. So if you see anything, if anybody calls you, post it, please.
I will. I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you.
Good talking to you. Bye. Next caller is Cynthia. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Cynthia from Arizona.
Thanks for calling in today.
Oh, we always do. Michael and I do, so thanks. We're always glad you're here. So we were having a discussion about my note-taking in that I'm not clear on when the windy season is, what month that is, and when the rainy season is. Could you remind
me? So the windy season, the windy season is the dry season. It officially starts about the middle of December, but the time when it's windy is going to be January, February, maybe a little bit into March. It's more windy, and we get less rain. The rainy season officially starts about the middle of April and lasts until about the middle of December. However, I've been getting rain almost every single day. It's in September, but I get it in the late afternoon. It starts about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. As we go into October, November, we'll get a lot more rain, and it'll rain every day, and it'll probably start about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But in June, July, and August, it's still the rainy season, but we don't get very much rain. It might rain a couple times a week starting about 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
Excellent. Okay, well, that clears that up. Thank you so much. One more thing.
You're welcome.
You mentioned you had some information on the blog page on the relocation page or website. And when I opened the blog to look for that information on the COVID testing, which I pretty much already have, but I wanted to check to make sure it's at least similar, when I open the page, it gives an error message, 404, saying that that page is no longer available.
I'm not sure why. I see that now. I'm not sure why, but right after this call, I'll log in and find out what the problem is, and I'll fix it. Okay?
I mentioned it so that you wouldn't get bombarded with emails. Thank you so much. Okay,
you're welcome. And our next caller is David. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks for calling in, David.
Good. And thank you so much for taking my calls. I actually have two questions. They'll be short, promise. Can you tell me what the top five or so don'ts that expats shouldn't do towards Panamanians or toward their culture?
If you talk louder, it doesn't mean that they're going to – first of all, don't expect them to speak English. That would be the number one thing. The number two thing is if you talk louder in English, they're not going to understand it any better than if you don't talk louder. The other thing is, you know, treat everybody with – don't expect them to do things the way you're used to having things done, because it just doesn't work that way. So those are some important things. And be courteous. Smile. Be friendly. Say hola. Even if you don't know them, say and try to have a conversation. Even if they don't speak a word of English and you don't speak a word of Spanish, start attempting to try to do some communications. And then you'll see that the more you try, the more you're going to learn.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay.
The second question I know that the area I've come looking at is like the beach area. Are all beach areas the same temperature? I know how you're telling me about that. You know, when you're...
Well, not really. I would say that all beach areas, it's going to be hot. It's going to be like 90 degrees plus or minus 5 at all of the beach areas. The big difference, though, is that some beach areas have a lot more of an ocean breeze, so that makes things feel cooler. I wonder what this thing is with the blog. So that makes things feel cooler, and even though it's 90 degrees outside, if there's a nice ocean breeze, then it's going to feel much better.
But the
temperature is going to be hot. Some areas, those Wura Peninsula, is a lot less humid than it is in other places. So that also, less humidity makes it feel like it's less hot also.
And that's in the Azula Peninsula, is that what you say?
It's in the Azura Peninsula.
Okay, gotcha. One thing in regard to your blog, Jackie, sometimes it depends on what browser you're using. Some browsers can do things more than others. Some browsers may not be – her browser may not be up to date. I don't know. I'm just something I'm throwing out there for you.
No, it's definitely having a problem. So I'll have to research I'll have to, after the, I can't do it during this call. I have to research what the heck the problem is and why that article is not showing up. But I guarantee you I'm going to have that article up and running tonight about the COVID testing so that you guys can all see it.
All right. And thanks so much, Jackie. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Next caller is Diane. Go ahead.
Hi. This is Tabitha, Jackie. I'm calling from somebody's else's phone. How are you? This is Tabitha.
Good.
From
thanks
Maryland.
For calling in.
Thank you. So I have a lot of questions, but I'm not going to take up all of your time. But I am not retired yet. I don't have any Social Security income coming in, but I do own a business that I can work remotely from anywhere. So how does that work as an expat living and working abroad? Do you know whether or not you still claim a state of residence? And do you pay federal and state taxes? I'm just so confused about this whole process. Do you
so
know anything
are
about
you,
that?
What country are you from?
I'm from the U.S.
So if you're a United States citizen, unfortunately, you're required to pay taxes on your worldwide income. That part sucks, but if you live overseas full time, then you may qualify for something called the foreign earned income exclusion, which means you can deduct the first $107,000 a year that you make. If you are not selling any products or services in Panama, then you won't have to pay any taxes in Panama.
Okay. That's helpful. And I did read, or I can't remember where I saw it, in terms of you're not able to work to qualify for a particular visa. Would this be the case in what I just explained?
So if you get the pensionado visa, you're never allowed to work in Panama. The pensionado visa is the one where you prove a lifetime income. So it's because you're not getting Social Security, that probably wouldn't be the visa you get anyway. So you'd want to go with a friendly nation visa, which would allow you to work in Panama, to get a worker permit and work in Panama, so long as it wasn't one of the protected professions.
Okay, and where would I find the protected profession?
I have an article on my website. If you just go to Panama Relocation Tours and do a search for protected professions, then you can see which
It'll
ones
follow.
Are on there. Engineer, architect, nurse, doctor, lawyer, accountant, all kinds of different things. They have like 135 different professions that are protected professions.
Gotcha. Okay, this is very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in. Next caller is James.
Hey, Jackie. I was wondering if you could tell me how the cost of living would compare between Boquete and Chitre. And in both of those places, does anybody ever set up solar power or mess with solar power? Have you heard anything about that?
So in Chitre, there's a huge solar farm there to feed power into the grid. But so definitely that's available in Chitre. Some people do solar. Even in Boquete, some people do solar, but not very many. And the reason is because in Boquete, you don't need air conditioning. So your electric bill is really, really low. Like mine's $20 a month, $25 a month at the most. And it would take forever to reimburse your expenses in the Boquete area. But in Chitre, it's much warmer. All in the Zora Peninsula, it's much warmer. So you're more likely to have a bigger electric bill and more likely to have solar. So some people do have solar in that area.
And what about just the regular cost of living between the two? You know, like getting the food, groceries, you know, kind of shopping out in
it's
the area.
It's very similar.
It's very similar. Okay, cool. Awesome. Yep. That's all I needed to know. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Let me go to the next one. Hold on. Next caller is David and Barbara. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is David and Barbara from Central Florida near Ocala. We are trying to figure out how do you maintain a residence in Florida if we are in Panama for a while and we decide we are going to stay permanently and we sell the house that we own in Florida. How can you
if you keep a Panama driver, if you keep a Florida driver's license, Keep renewing your Florida driver's license. Also, with your mail forwarding, you're going to get a Florida address. So you'd have a Florida address and to keep a driver's license. That's all that you need to do.
Oh, so wherever we have the mail forwarding, we have to go to that DMV and get a new driver's license then to have that address on it?
Yeah, they may have something that's available online for you to change your address. I don't know what the rules are in Florida, but yeah, you can just use that as your address, and then just having a driver's license is all you need for maintaining the residency there. Some people also might have a bank account that was opened up at a Florida branch, and that's another way you can maintain it. Next caller is Stephen. Go ahead.
Actually, this is Janet again, last week's newbie, and I have one question. If you, in the Boquete area, if you go to Panama and purchase some goods, even furniture, is it affordable to have it shipped to Boquete?
Yes, it's very affordable. If you buy furniture like in David, most of the places will deliver for about $25.
But I'm talking about Panama City.
Same thing in Panama City. Some of the people, and well, you can probably get it in David, and then you wouldn't even have to go all the way to Panama City. But some of the companies there, they're going to do the same thing. They will deliver it for you. It's going to cost a little bit more, but they'll deliver it for you.
I was just wondering if that was just out of the question financially.
No, they'll deliver it. Okay. So they would probably, this is just an example. I bought a dining room table in David, and whenever I bought it, because I couldn't find what I was looking for in David, I'm sorry, I bought the dining room table in Panama City. There's a company called Felicia's Chevalier that is an in-country courier service, and they had it shipped by Felicia's Chevalier. It cost $50 to go into their office in Boquete, and then had someone with a pickup truck, taxi, that brought it up to my house, and that was another $5. So it's still super affordable.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. That's it.
You're welcome.
Today. Bye-bye.
Okay. And next caller is area code 954. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jackie. This is Susan and Doe. Just the first question, washing machines. Are they available in rentals and also maybe, dryers?
Yes, most rentals are going to have a washer and dryer. If you're in a really, really, really low price point, like $300 a month, then it might not have one. But I would say anything that's over that is going to be, it's going to have a washer and a dryer. I can tell you that some of the properties that are over in a hot climate, I know it seems weird, but they put the washer and the dryer outside on the back patio. And the reason they do that is so that the moisture won't come into the house and create extra humidity in the house.
No, all right. Another question is cell phones. Can one use your cell phone there, or do you have to buy a new one?
You can probably use your cell phone if it's unlocked whenever you come to Panama. All you have to do is switch out the SIM card. That's what I did when I moved to Panama. I had an iPhone that was with AT&T, but I was out of contract, so I got it unlocked. And when I got here, I just bought a $1 SIM card and switched it out in the phone. And then I used my very same phone for the for my Panama number.
All right. And the last question is water in rentals. Hot water available or some rentals not available?
Some rentals, it's not going to be available in the beach areas. Up in the mountains, you're almost always going to at least have hot water in the shower. And so that's something you want to check out with a rental. You want to make sure that the rental has hot water at the kitchen sink, in the shower, the bathroom sink, and perhaps the laundry room also. It's one of those questions. Some rentals have it, some rentals don't. By the way, before I go to the next question, if I seemed a little bit distracted while I was talking to you guys, I went and fixed that blog error that we had on the website. So I was multitasking a little bit. It's fixed now, and you can see it, the new article about COVID testing to come into Panama. And Anthony is my next caller, area code 520. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Tim and Susan from Phoenix, Arizona. And we've been thinking about that because we can't take the hot weather here anymore. It's been over 110 degrees for the last 25 days.
Sounds miserable.
And Ogete sounds very, very good. Okay, my question is, we've put our name on the tour to be called if there's an opening, but it looks like a opening till 2022. So if we bought.
First of all, Tony, let me tell you a couple of things. We have not started doing Panama relocation tours yet. Even though the borders are going to open up on October the 12th and people can come into the country, we just don't feel ready to do the tours yet, because if we can't provide a quality tour experience for you, then we'd rather do no tour at all. Panama is still going to require that people on a bus wear a mask, which is crazy to have to wear it on the bus. When you're out walking around to see a rental or to go into a store, you have to wear a mask. Plus, many of the restaurants have limited seating. There's only, like, for example, one of the popular restaurants in Boquete, that I don't know how many people they could normally handle, 60 or 70. They're limited to just having six tables at one time. So that's why we're encouraging people, instead of coming on a group tour, it would be better to either do a private tour, which at some point we'll be open offering those whenever we feel it's the right time and it's safe to do it. But if you were to just come here and get the online Panama relocation guide, it has information about how to do your very own self-guided tour with people to contact, where to go, which hotel to stay at, all the information that you need to come to Panama and be able to check it out.
Yes, I understand that the tours are totally reliable to do that.
Yeah, and when we do start offering tours, we're probably going to have some openings, but it's going to be on a first-come, first-served basis. And we'll send out an email to the people on the backup list and say, hey, we've got an opening for two people or for four people on the certain tour, and then I'm sure it'll get snapped up in about 3 minutes. So we will have some openings. It's just we don't want to announce any openings until we know for sure that we can do a tour.
And I understand that. I want to get back to my question. If we buy the tour guide book, we take ourselves into that, makes us available to contact you with questions.
Yeah, you're cutting in. You're cutting in and out just a little bit. So I didn't hear all of your questions.
Can you repeat
your question, please?
If we buy the tour guide book and then we bring ourselves into Panama and for our own visit to look around for a month, do we have the ability to be able to contact you or one of your personnel, associates, with questions we might have that are
absolutely
not?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be right here to help you, or one of our associates will be right here to help you.
Okay. Another question is, if you rent a car, what driver's license do you have to have?
So whenever you're a tourist coming into Panama, you can drive on your foreign driver's license for 90 days. That's all you need. Just your foreign driver's license and your passport is all that you need to be able to show. Then you can drive in Panama with no problems. But after 90 days, you wouldn't be able to drive. So if you're just coming for 1 month, that would work out just fine. And our next caller is area code 760. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I was just reading through your article right now, so I got a little distracted. We actually have had COVID already, and both my husband and I have the antibody test, and it looks like the antibody test, you know, so when we get our blood work, we're showing positive for the antibodies, which is good because we can donate our blood to people, but that appears that that won't be an acceptable thing, so we're going to have to get the swab, if I understand this correctly,
you have to either do the PCR test or the antigen test. They do not accept antibody test.
Okay. Yeah, so that's going to be, I guess, and we're in Kentucky, so that's super easy for us. It's just you can go to any urgent care and get your results within 15 minutes, so that's not a difficult thing. I guess the other question I have, we're already booked for our tickets, and we want to go see, we have a couple other places we want to see in South America as well, so we have all the paperwork lined up, but we don't have it translated or apostillated yet. Is that going to be something that'll be pretty quick and easy to do once we're in Panama, if we decide Panama's the place that we're going to start our visa applications?
So for your visa application, you cannot do the translations where you are. The translations have to be done by an authorized Panamanian translator. So your attorney will handle all of that. All you need to do is gather your documents and either get an apostille, or you need to get the authorization or authentication by the Panamanian consulate. Depending on which attorney that you're going to use, it'll take about 7 days. Plan on about 7 days for you to get your temporary visa. It actually only takes a couple of days for you to get the actual visa, but then you have to apply for something called a multi-entry stamp, which will take another 2 days, and that allows you to leave Panama while you're waiting on getting your permanent visa. Also, if you just get the authentication instead of an apostille, then you need to allow for 2 days to get that re-authenticated here in Panama. But your attorney will take care of all of that. They'll take care of the re-authentication. They'll take care of the translations into Spanish. They'll take care of everything. But plan on 7 days for getting your visa if you decide you want to get it while you're here. Next caller is Larry in Alaska.
Thank you, Jackie. I got two really quick questions. The first one is, in one of your last emails, you stated that you're paying $1,200 for medical insurance. Was that for yourself, that amount for yourself or your whole family?
Well, I am the whole family. My husband passed away about 3 years ago, so that's just for me, and that's $1,200 a year.
Okay. Okay, my next one is my follow-up question is, when we moved down there, we realized we're going to sell 99.9% of all of our household goods. What I'm really concerned, and my wife loves to bake and I love to cook, so we have all these kitchen utensils and stuff. Is it not out of the ordinary to bring all the kitchen stuff with us?
Some people want to bring their kitchen stuff because they, you know, they love it. They're used to working with it. And you can do that. If you just have a few things, you have a couple of different options. One, you can go with an international mover and they can just do a pallet, which is going to be about 4 feet by 4 feet of boxes that they put a big saran wrap thing all around it and ship that down. So you should be able to get all your kitchen stuff down by doing a pallet. Let's just say it's 4 or 5 or 6 or even 10 boxes that you wanted to ship down. The other alternative is to get set up with an account, which is free to set up the account with a mail forwarding company that's in Panama in the town that you plan to move to, and then they'll give you an address in Miami, so you could have everything shipped to Miami by just UPS ground, and then when it gets to Miami, they'll put it on a plane and they'll bring it here, and then you would just go pick it up in the office of the mail forwarding company in the town that you moved to. You'd probably want to do a price comparison. The mail forwarding companies are going to charge anywhere from $2 to $4 depending on which company that you're going with. The other one charges by volume and not by weight. The international movers charge by volume and not by weight.
Yeah.
So you just have to do a cost analysis to determine which one's the better way to go.
Yeah, no, that's, when you start talking about that, that's the first thing that popped my mind, economic analysis. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. That's all I've got.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Next caller is Michelle. Go ahead. Area code 815.
Hi. Hi, this is Mark and Michelle, and we're newbies on this call. We've been doing a lot of research and trying to figure out the best way to get down there. I guess the main question that we have is, what would be the minimum amount of money that you would really need to get there and get settled and find some place to rent?
Well, you know, it depends on what it is that you were going to be renting. If you want a one-bedroom or even a two-bedroom house, and it depends on where you're going to live. In Coronado area, that minimum number would be one number. If you're going to live in Boquete or Bocan, the minimum number would be a different number. If you were going to live in Las Tablas, it would be a completely different number. So let's just do a ballpark. If you were not going to live in Panama City, you're not going to live in Coronado, because those are the two most expensive places. If you live someplace else in Panama, let's figure $600 a month rent. Your landlord's probably going to want a security deposit that's equal to $600 the first month's rent, so $1,200 for that. And then for getting a visa, we have different attorneys have different prices, but a couple should be able to get a visa for about $1,700, that's for two people. If it's the pensionado visa, if it's a friendly nation visa, it's going to cost more. The only other expense you're going to have is flying here, so whatever your flight would cost. And then if you decide to buy a car, you could get a good car for $6,000-$7,000, or you could just do public transportation, which is readily available. So bottom line, I would say under $5,000. You could fly here, get your rent, get groceries, get a visa, and get going.
Okay. And then you need to show proof of income, like your Social Security and pension and things like that. Do you know if disability is part of that as well?
Yes. For a while there, they were not accepting disability, but they are now. Veterans benefits, veterans disability, so they do that. The thing is that if you're applying as a couple, your combined income needs to be $1,250 per month for you to qualify for that pensionado visa.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Well,
thanks,
thank
for
you
calling
very much.
In. Mm-hmm. Bye. Next caller is Freeland. How are you today?
Good. How's it going down there in the rainy season this month, huh?
A little bit rainy, but it's good.
Yeah, it's kind of raining up here, too. I just got a couple questions. I heard from earlier, Social Security proof letter that we need to bring with us to show that we have Social Security benefits, our retirement. What was the number of that form again?
2458.
All right, and once we get that, is there a limit, a time limit on that, or could we get it now and have it for next year?
Any documents that you're going to use for applying for a visa cannot be more than 6 months old.
Gotcha. Okay, real good.
Thanks for calling in. Oh, sorry, Freeland. I thought that. Let me see if I can get you back. Hold on.
Yeah,
Freeland, go ahead. I'm sorry to cut
you
off. I thought you didn't have another question. Go ahead.
That's okay. Do you have a list in any of your 97 articles that has a list of all the stuff that we need to bring with us, like for banking and for the pensionado visa?
In our online Panama Relocation Guide, we have information in there on what documents are needed for each one of the different visas and for opening up a bank account, yes.
Okay, real good. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry I cut you off earlier.
No, that's okay, doll. You have a good day.
I got you back. Okay. And our next caller is Bill. Go ahead. Bill in South Carolina. Go ahead. Hello. I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Bill in South Carolina. Next caller is Malcolm.
Good afternoon, Jackie. My question is related to cycling. I was a bit disappointed with a comment you made a few weeks ago that you thought it was too dangerous to cycle in Boquete town centre because of the motorists. And was that based on your personal experience, or is that based on some data that there are so many accidents per month or per year? Could you comment a bit more on it?
So I don't remember that I've ever made any comments that it's dangerous in Boquete. It's not dangerous at all.
Okay.
Pre-COVID, I've walked around downtown after midnight by myself and never felt threatened or unsafe at all. Crime is extremely, extremely low in the Boquete area and in many parts of Panama. Panama City, there's some parts that have high crime, but certainly not in Boquete. So you must have misunderstood what I said.
Now, my question wasn't related to crime. It was more related to getting hit by a car when you're cycling on the road.
Oh, yeah. If you're cycling on the road, then you don't want to be doing that in downtown Boquete.
Right.
We have very, very narrow roads. It's very narrow roads all over the place. And if you're a cycler, you do see people doing cycling on the roads, but it's better if you're going to do cycling to do it not anywhere close to downtown Boquete.
Okay. I mean, do cyclists get hit by, is it more dangerous or less dangerous than anywhere else in say, America?
Both bicyclists and motorcycles have been known to get hit throughout the country, yes. And it's just because sometimes they don't have clothes on that makes it easy to see them. Sometimes drivers are not paying attention to what's out there, and they don't see them. They don't notice them. They get distracted. They don't notice them, and they run into them. So I know of several instances where both people on bicycles and motorcycles have been killed because they got hit by a car.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next caller is area code 403.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, thanks for calling in.
Okay, no problem. It's Ted and Doris from Alberta, Canada again. We hear you talking about this form in the U.S., 2458, regarding, you know, getting your Social Security letter signed. What about Canada?
In Canada, I believe yours is called a RCB, the RCB form. You're so lucky. It's so much easier to get all of your forms in Canada. You can just get something online. Also, Canada is not part of the Hague Convention, so you don't need to do an apostille. Once you print that form out, it's the RCB, I believe is what it's called, form that shows your pension, and you may have two pensions in Canada. So once you print those forms out, all you have to do is send it off to the nearest Panamanian consulate, and they'll authenticate it for you.
Even though it doesn't have a signature?
Even though it doesn't have a signature, yeah. In Canada, it's not required. So your process is so much easier than the United States. You're lucky.
Okay, that's good to know because, you know, I've obtained a form with, you know, the amount. It does say a certain month. It says July,
yeah,
day of 2020. This is what your monthly income is.
Right. Yeah, that's all you need. And then you just, you don't have to worry about an apostille. They don't do that in Canada. You just send it to the Panamanian consulate for an authentication.
Good question. Okay. Ted's got a question too.
Jackie?
Go ahead.
Can you tell me if Panama has a tax treaty with Canada?
I really don't. I believe they do, but I'm not sure about that. I think I remember reading someplace that they do have a tax treaty with Canada. So one of the things that would mean is that if you made any income in Panama and you had to pay taxes in Panama, then you could deduct that from any income tax that you might owe in Canada. But I believe they do have a tax treaty. I just don't know for sure.
If I had an income in Canada and I was putting it all into a bank in Panama, and they know that, they're going to tax me 25% if they don't have a tax treaty.
The other thing that you have to do is you have to change it to where you're not a resident, not an official resident of Panama, and then you can avoid paying Canadian taxes. So long as you are still what's considered a resident of Canada, then you're going to keep on having to pay taxes. But if you become a non-resident, then you wouldn't owe taxes in Canada anymore. And you wouldn't owe any taxes in Panama, because Panama only taxes you on income that you make from selling a product or service here in Panama. Next caller is Maxine. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks so much for your service. I'm learning a lot from your calls on your Saturday calls. And speaking of, I'm just going back and forth in terms of do I bring my furniture? Do I sell my furniture and just come with suitcases? And I remember an earlier call where you gave exorbitant prices for I think they were 40-foot containers shipping furniture, and you were saying that there is no place for storage, you know, in Panama. So and then I think you also mentioned
I mentioned that it's hard to find a house that's vacant for you to put your furniture into. One of the things that I would highly recommend that you do, Maxine, if you're thinking about moving here, is if you sell your house and you have your furniture and you're not sure if you want to bring it here or not, I would highly recommend that you just put your furniture in storage wherever you live right now. Come to Panama, live here for at least 3 or 6 months. Make sure you like it. Make sure you like it here in Panama.
Sure.
Make sure you like the town that you've picked. I would say at least half of the people that I know, they moved to one place, said, "Ooh, it's too hot," and they moved to a different one, or, "Oh, it's too cold," or, "It's too windy," and they've had to move a couple of different times. So it's better to make sure that you like Panama and that you like the area before you go to the expense of shipping something down. A 40-foot container is going to cost anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000, depending on where you live, where the closest port is. For $10,000 to $15,000, you could buy a whole house full of brand-new furniture here in Panama. So you have to really think it through about whether or not you're going to be bringing your things or not. But if you ship it down here, and I can tell you a story of a guy that came on my tour. He shipped down not one, but two 40-foot containers to move to Panama. Unfortunately, he came on the tour, but his wife did not come on the tour. So he came on the tour. He absolutely loved Panama. He shipped two 40-foot containers. They had a heck of a time finding a house that all that stuff could go into. And then shortly after they got here and they got settled, his wife said, "I don't like it. I don't like it here in Panama. I want to go back to Fort Lauderdale, Florida." So it was going to cost twice as much to ship that stuff back to the United States from Panama. So he had an amazing garage sale where he sold a whole lot of stuff, and it ended up shipping back only one 20-foot container, which was still, it cost as much as shipping two 40-foot containers. So that's why before you ship stuff down here, make absolutely sure that you like Panama and that you like the area that you've originally selected, because it's expensive to get it here and it's going to cost twice as much to get it back. Next caller is Twyla. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling in today, Twyla.
Hey, I have a quick, my question is just real quick. Robert and I, we were at Walmart and we got in after your announcements. and so we missed the announcement. Are you going to post that on the website, or can I get that in
yes.
an email or something so we know what the announcement is?
You're going to get it in an email tomorrow.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure. We did buy your package, and we're going through it and making notes. So.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll plan on making
thank
our call in
much.
A couple months. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bryla. Bye-bye. Next caller is Claire. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everybody. Callan Claire here from British Columbia, Canada. Just a couple of comments to add to what you've said about the COVID tests. Unfortunately, where we are, our tests take 96 hours to come back, so anywhere up to 4 days to come back. And I understand that when you come down, your test has to be valid and you have to be in Panama within that 96 hours. Is that correct?
That's correct. However, it's the PCR test that takes 96 hours. If you get the antigen test, you can get those results in less than an hour, often less than 15 minutes.
Okay. So maybe we'll see if there's somewhere we can get that test done instead. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the one. I just put out a new article about it on the website that was written by someone that just came in, I believe, yesterday into Panama, and he did extensive research about it. If you get the antigen test, usually you can get those results in 15 minutes, definitely less than an hour.
Brilliant. Okay. So my question is, I did email this to you, but where we want to go is Gorgona. That's where we want to start off, just setting a base up to look around the country from there. And my understanding is that the power grid in Gorgona is a little bit unreliable. So I was wondering about canning supplies, because I've taken to making my own jams and canning stuff. Is that readily available down there for people, so you can have an alternative to your freezer that may or may not lose power?
So first of all, let me tell you that Gorgona is a really great area. There's some excellent condos that are there, which is where you might want to be living in a condo facing the
yep.
ocean. All of the condos have a backup generator. So if the power should happen to go out, you probably won't even notice that it's gone out, because they have a backup generator. Because the elevators and refrigerators and other
right.
things in the condo still need to work, so that'll be fine. Canning supplies, they do have the jars and the lids and the wax and all of those things. I've seen all of those things here. So I know that there's so many Panamanians that do canning, so I'm sure that
great.
They have all of the other things as well.
Okay, super. Super. Thank you very much. The only other comment I had was regarding someone's worrying about rainy season. My husband and I came down there. One of our visits was during rainy season, and it didn't rain until like 2:30 in the afternoon, and then it was gone by 3:30, and it was warm rain anyway. So
yeah.
compared to our Canadian rain, it's really nice.
Yeah, it's the rainy season. Most people that live here, they say that the rainy season is their favorite time of year. It's really quite pleasant, so long as you're not wanting to be outside doing other things. You just rearrange your schedule and you do your day knowing that it's probably going to rain starting about 3 o'clock in October and November. My next caller is Dawn. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Good.
My
Thanks
question,
for calling in today.
Thank you. My question is, when you're getting a pensionado visa and you have a dependent that is a child or a teenager, how would that work in terms of them growing up in Panama and then being able to work in Panama?
So once your child turns 18, they can apply for Panamanian citizenship. And if you're a Panamanian citizen, then you don't have to have a work permit. All Panamanians can legally work in Panama. So that's one way to do it. The other thing is your attorney could have your child that applies for one visa and you apply for a different visa. So there's a lot of different options for dependent children that are getting a visa, and your attorney can help you with that.
Okay, thank you.
Mhm. And Roy is my next caller. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Roy and Teresa in Tennessee. We're big fans of yours.
Thank you so much for calling in today.
You bet. Two quick questions. The first one is, we're interested in, everybody seems they're interested in the Volketti area, but we're interested in that and Pedici. And I just wanted to know if there's a few hotels, hostels, well, not hostels really, but hotels that you would recommend that you would stay in. I don't know if you know about Pedici, but maybe this is in your book too, but, you know, hotels that you'd stay in while you're looking for rentals.
So, first of all, the difference between Pedici and Boquete is like the difference between night and day. The weather's completely different. The community is completely different. Everything's completely different. So you just have to visit them to decide which one that you would like the best. And, yes, in our online Panama relocation guide, we do have recommendations on where to stay. Of course, you can look on TripAdvisor. It has recommendations of places to stay as well. But we have places that we know that are really, really good. We also have contacts for each one of the different areas of someone that can show you around to show you rentals that are in the area just in the price range that you want. Also, expat hangouts and where you might want to, grocery stores you might want to check out to make sure that you see everything, and even some Panamanian restaurants that you might want to try.
Great. And for Boquete, if you felt like naming one off the top of your head, that takes pets. That's just a nice hotel to, you know, take a look at the area.
So one of the few hotels in Boquete that will take pets is called Isla Verde, and it's in a really good location, center to town. And it's little roundhouses. So you have a little house that's a round shape. It has a kitchenette, little kitchen, dining room, living room area, and then a bedroom. Some of them have upstairs, downstairs, where there's a bedroom upstairs and a bedroom downstairs. So Isla Verde would be one. You can probably get a much, much, much better price if you went with an Airbnb that was pet-friendly. I'm talking at least 50% less if you went with an Airbnb that was pet-friendly. Next caller, area code 612.
Hola.
Hola.
I do have a question. Jackie, you've mentioned many times in order to qualify for citizenship, you need to prove that you have $1,000 at least in
Let me clarify that just a little bit. To qualify for a visa, a resident visa that allows you to live in Panama indefinitely, you need to prove for the pensionado visa that you have $1,000 a month in lifetime income. The friendly nation visa, to get that visa, you don't need to prove any kind of income at all. But when it comes to citizenship, to get citizenship in Panama, you have to have your resident visa for at least 5 years before you can even apply for citizenship.
Okay, that's confusing, but all right.
There's a difference between being a resident and being a citizen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I hadn't thought of that. And then if my insurance comes out of my my 1,000 monthly, and it's a little bit under that 1,000 mark, does that matter? If it's like a little bit short of 1,000, or are they very firm on that?
They're pretty firm on that.
Okay. All right.
So
yeah.
If you didn't have $1,000, since it was $920 a month. If you didn't have $1,000 a month in income, don't worry. That doesn't mean you can't get a visa. You just can't get the pensionado visa. You could get the friendly nation visa, which has no income requirement. Also, people think, oh, but I want the pensionado visa because I want to get all those discounts. You still get all the discounts with the friendly nation visa. They just have an age requirement for that visa. For that visa, for you to get the discounts for women, you have to be 55, and for men, you have to be 60, and then you still get all the discounts. But you don't have to prove any kind of income other than they're going to require that you open up a Panama bank account and put $5,000 in the Panama bank account. The day you get your visa, you can start spending that money. So it's super easy to get that visa. And next caller is Christy. Go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi. You cut out a little bit.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi. Do you hear me?
There you are.
Okay.
Yep, I hear you now.
Okay, a couple of questions. So I put my name on the wait list for the tours. And so I'm thinking about just getting the online book and coming down if I don't get in a tour. And you kind of answered that about the safety as a single woman. But how easy is it to bring pets in, as specifically dogs, and rent a place?
Well, you would not want to bring your dog if you're just coming down to do a visit of Panama. It's better not to have your dog with you if you're just coming down for a look-see visit. But whenever you actually move here, it's easy to bring your dog. It's time-sensitive, but it's easy to bring your dog into the country. We do have information in the online guide on exactly how to do that and people to contact that can help you with the entire process.
Okay.
And then some landlords will rent to people with pets, and some landlords won't. I would say the majority of people rent to people with pets.
Okay. And then one last thing, and you said you would be calling people for the backup, correct? Once you
we don't call, we send out an email.
Yeah, okay, you send out an email once that wakes up. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Next caller is area code 713.
Yes, Jackie. This is John and Marcia. We wanted to break up kind of our trips between, we want to go down there in the Boquete area, and we would like to find a place to rent and rent it and stay the time to do that, maybe a week or something like that. Then come back to the U.S., do our paperwork, et cetera, for start our visa, et cetera. But in just going there, we know we want to go to Boquete. Would you say it's better or no difference if we tried to come and fly in like Copa or something from Costa Rica, just going direct to David, then just, again, getting a taxi or something up to Boquete, or trying to go in through Panama City and then, you know, get a Copa flight over to David?
So I can tell you that pre-COVID, it was much cheaper to fly into Costa Rica because Southwest flies into Costa Rica. But the challenge comes in getting from Costa Rica over to David. Air Panama has flights. They used to have flights a couple times a week, so you had to make sure you timed your flight into Costa Rica just right on when you could get that other flight to go over to David. The only other alternative would be an 8-hour bus ride to get from San Jose to David.
Ouch.
Yeah. So sometimes it's just faster and easier. Even if it costs just a little bit more, it's faster and easier, more convenient to fly into Panama City, just change planes and fly right up to David.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller is David. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in today.
Good, good. First of all, kudos to you. Enjoy these calls. I've been listening for 2 or 3 weeks and got most of my questions answered, but I do have a couple for you, please. Is it going to be hard to find a 6-month rental down there?
No, not at all. Actually, whenever you look at ads on Panama, it says long-term rental only. That's 6 months. A 6-month rental is considered a long-term. You can even get just a 1-month rental or a 3-month rental. It's not hard at all.
Okay, okay. My goal is to probably live there 6 months out of the year, and then I'm going to buy a house up in the mountains up in North Carolina just so I can come back here for 6 months to be with family and so on and so forth. Now, I'm going to qualify for Medicare next July, so that's my goal, is to get down there. Well, actually, my goal is to live down there in the wintertime from probably September, October through probably May, and then May through October in the U.S. First of all, what type of visa do you think that would be best for me? I guess it's the pensionado visa, is correct?
Yes, if you don't plan to work in Panama, if you just want to move here and be retired, then you should definitely go with a pensionado visa. The only requirement is you have to prove at least $1,000 a month in lifetime income.
Yeah, that's not a problem. And then the last question would be health insurance. Of course, I'll qualify for Medicare July of next year. Would it be better for me to buy a Medicare supplement here and just buy Panama insurance down there, or an international policy with a supplement?
It would be better to, I just switched over to where I used to have an international policy, but when I got old enough to get Medicare, I went ahead and got Medicare in the United States, even though I'm not hardly ever there. And then I have Panama-only insurance for here in Panama, and if I decide to travel someplace, I'll get traveler's insurance. The reason it's a good idea to go ahead and that's a, everybody's decision is different, but the reason I decided to get it, even though I'm not there that often, is because if you don't get Medicare when you turn 65, and let's say it's 68 or 70, you decide that you want to get it later on because you're going to live in the U.S. more often, there's a penalty getting into
right.
Medicare if you don't get it when you turn 65.
Right.
And
right.
I believe
now,
the cost is 10% or $14 a month for every month for every year that you didn't have it. So if you didn't have it for 2 years, that'd be an extra $28 premium.
Right. Well, no, my intention is to go stick with Medicare since I'm planning to live here 6 months anyway. That wasn't really the question. What I'm asking is the supplement on top of the Medicare. Would it be better to buy a Medicare supplement here, knowing that I'm only going to be here for 6 months, or can you buy like Panama insurance or international insurance with a supplement to cover me when I'm here?
No, you should go ahead and get a supplement there.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. You've been helpful.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 757. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Albert. I'd like to know, in March, I was planning to apply for a visa there and did all my paperwork. Do I have to do my paperwork all over again, or will the immigration waiver that?
You're going to have to talk to your attorney about whether you're going to have to do your paperwork again. If you had it, if in March it wasn't more than 6 months, so let's see, March, April, May, June, July, August. Yeah, you're going to need new paperwork.
Okay.
I'm sorry, wasn't the answer you wanted, but it can't be more than 6 months old. For people that were already in the country, they did give an extension until October 31st for their paperwork. But for people that were not already in Panama, they're not giving any extensions.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Next caller, 941. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. First, a comment. You really made me laugh with your story about that gentleman from Fort Lauderdale getting the two containers and then shipping them over there because he liked Panama, and his wife came over and said, "No way." I mean, you've been telling people a long time to make sure, and you know the. It applies to both parties, not just one party. And I know in my case, you know, one of us are more inclined, you know, to live over there than the other. So very, very good story, by the way.
Yep, it's important that everybody's on the same page. And until you are all on the same page, don't ship a container.
Well, yeah, don't even make any moves. Don't get visas or anything, though. So great advice.
Yeah, You can stay here. Yeah, you can stay in Panama for 6 months as a tourist. So just come here, plan to give Panama a test drive for 6 months and make sure everybody likes it before you get a visa, before you ship a container or anything, or before you even sell the house where you live. You want to know you got someplace to go back to.
Exactly right. And as you said, two people, not just one. Two quick questions. The $3,000 direct deposit cap on the one account, if you had a husband and wife, could you avoid that by setting up another bank account where you can have direct deposit?
Let me clarify that. There is no limit on the direct deposit amount. You can have direct deposit any amount, like your Social Security check, pension from a job, or any of those things. There's no monthly limit on what that can be. Where the limit comes in is if you're living in Panama and you want to write a check on a U.S. bank and deposit it into a Panama bank account, then there's a limit of $3,000 per month.
All
and
right.
Yes, you can bypass that if you or you and your spouse open up two different accounts or three different accounts, and you can put $3,000 per month in each account.
Got it. Thanks for eliminating that confusion, because I had it flipped the other way around. Also,
yeah.
In terms of renting a condo, in terms of advance payment, normally here you would just provide a credit card. Isn't that most, the cases in Panama, or no?
No. No, this is a cash-based society here in Panama. So if you just happen to be renting a house or a condo from someone that's a U.S. citizen, they may say, oh, you can just move money from your U.S. bank to their U.S. bank in the United States if they have one in the U.S., or your
right.
bank in Canada to their bank in Canada if you're Canadian. But most people will want the money to be put into their Panama bank account, because from their Panama bank account, they can pay the electric bill, they can pay the internet bill, they can pay the water bill. They want the money in Panama to be able to use it to pay the different bills that they have, HOA fees and other things. So in that case, if you have a Panama bank account, you can move money from your Panama bank account over to their Panama bank account. The whole thing happens in just a couple of minutes, and there's no charge.
Okay, so the anticipation that we normally have here when we secure a rental, be it through a property agent or through an individual, we always use a credit card. What you're saying is that's not going to be acceptable here.
Nobody uses credit cards for rent here. Nobody.
Got it. Okay, thank you, Jackie. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Next call is Lisa. Go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, I just want to make sure. How you doing? Yes,
good.
I'm one of those ones that were planning on probably shipping 240-foot containers. I wanted to know how good of quality is the furniture there?
The quality of the furniture, well, you know, you can get all different qualities, just like there where you live, you can get all different qualities. You can actually get furniture made here with teak or mahogany wood. You can get a whole dining room set with chairs made for about $500, handmade exactly the way you want it to be. But they also have some discount furniture stores also that's probably going to last about a year, then it'll start falling apart because it's made out of particle board. And they have some really, really, really nice furniture stores also with all kinds of different things. Same thing with mattresses. We have Serta mattresses and Posturepedic mattresses, and all those things are readily available here. That's one of the things we do during our Panama relocation tour, is we take people to the grocery stores to see what's available here. Do they have the brand of peanut butter you'd like? Do they have your favorite cereal? We take you to shopping centers where you can see the furniture, see the mattresses, see the clothes they have here, and see what's available. So when you come down for your exploratory trip to Panama, we encourage you to go check out those things. If you're thinking about moving your furniture, go to some furniture stores and see what they have, and they'll help you decide what's available. You've heard of Ashley Furniture?
Yeah.
They have that. We have Ashley Furniture here.
Okay, I did hear that. Okay, that's great. We're coming in November. We already have our tickets booked. That's great. So if I get the online guide, then all that information will be in there, correct?
Yes, that's right. It's all in there.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
And a couple of other things about our online Panama relocation guide, besides that being all in there, you're also instantly invited to a private community forum that we have that's only people that have already been on a tour, only people that have bought the online guide. And I think that access to that is worth the online guide, what the price that you get for the online guide itself, because there's so much good interaction of this worked and that didn't work and how to do this and you know, I moved to Gorgona, but it didn't work for me because of these certain reasons. So you get to really interact with people that are here that have nothing to sell you. They're not trying to wrench anything, but just to give you their honest opinion.
Okay, that's wonderful. I appreciate that.
Thanks for calling in today.
Thank you.
Cynthia, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Cynthia again. Say, I had a follow-up question on last week you mentioned that the Airbnb limits or the restriction on the limit of time that you need to stay in an Airbnb have changed during the COVID or, releasing the COVID restrictions. So are Airbnbs now open for us to go to if we chose to do that, or do we have to commit a minimum amount of time to stay there?
So Airbnbs are still open, and so the rules say that an Airbnb stay can't be for less than 45 days unless the person has their rental registered with the Department of Tourism. The reality is that I would say 90% of the people that are renting Airbnbs will do it for one night, two nights, or three nights, and they are not registered with the Ministry of Tourism, but they keep on doing what they've always been doing, regardless of what the rules are.
Okay, that helps.
So to answer your question, yes, you can stay at an Airbnb for two nights or three nights or 1 week.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
Okay. Next caller is Dawn. Go ahead.
Jackie, it's Dawn again. I have a two-part question this time. Are they now allowing for you to pick up your permanent visa in David?
Yes, they are allowing you to pick up your permanent visa in David.
Okay, and the second question is, if you come and stay, because when I come and I get my paperwork and everything done, I want to stay for 6 months. When I decide to come back to the States, United States, would I have to have a multi-entry stamp at that point? Oh, no.
So let me tell you about the multi-entry stamp. If you apply for a visa, the initial visa you get is called a temporary visa or a processing visa. It's only good for 6 months. If you don't plan to stay in Panama until you get your permanent visa, if you plan to leave before you get your permanent visa, then you're required to get that multi-entry stamp. My advice to everybody is that when you get your temporary visa, even if you plan to stay in Panama, go ahead and get the multi-entry stamp. It's only $50. And then if something comes up and you need to leave the country for some reason in between getting your temporary visa and your permanent visa, you can leave with no problems. If you got your temporary visa and you didn't get the multi-entry stamp and you decided you wanted to leave, there's a $2,000 fine to leave the country. So get the multi-entry stamp when you get your temporary visa. That's the moral of that story.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Jackie.
You're welcome. And my next caller is area code 507. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Kate from Michigan. I have two questions. I know we've talked about the weather quite extensively, especially in the Boquete area, but we haven't talked about specifically what the humidity percentage is. And I know you wouldn't necessarily know that for everywhere, but for Volcancito, what would the percentage be? Is it like 75%? Is it usually like 85%, 90% humidity?
There's a really good website you can look at. It's called BoqueteWeather.com. And it has information about many of the different areas that are here in the Boquete area and what their dew point is, what the humidity level is, what the wind is, how much rainfall they got in different areas. So if you go to that, then it will have information. Of course, if you just happen to have a day in September where it's rained for 4 hours, your humidity level is going to be through the roof. But if you look at, well, what was the humidity like in February when there wasn't any rain, the humidity level is going to be very, very low. So it also depends on comparing the dry season to the rainy season.
Great. And if I may, just a quick question. Not many people speak about Alto Quiel. I was wondering if you could share, is that still relatively built up? Is that a popular
what area?
To be?
What area?
Alto Quiel.
Oh, Alto Quiel. Yes. Well, it's kind of out in the boonies. As it's a Texas saying, out in the boonies, it's way up there. It's a 25 to 30 minute drive from Alto Quiel to get into downtown Boquete. It's a beautiful drive up there. It's really pretty. There's a one housing development called Plantation, I think it's called Plantation Estates, a really nice hotel called Hotel Lerida. But there's not much of anything up there. There's, you know, little houses and stuff. It's very, very pretty. It's a higher elevation, so it's going to be cooler. During part of the year, it's in the cloud forest. So talk about humidity. It's going to have much more humidity also.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
I'll keep thinking. Okay. Thank you, Jackie.
Okay. And when I say cloud forest, I mean you're standing on your back patio and you're looking out and you might be looking down on the clouds or you might be in the middle of the clouds. That's living in the cloud forest.
Wow. That almost sounds kind of fun, but it might be a bit.
It is. It's fun. Yep. Next caller is Norma. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie.
By the way, just a second, Norma. I just want to let everybody know we've got Norma and two other callers after that, and then we're going to call it a day. Only two more people in the waiting list. So go ahead, Norma, with your question.
Yes. Norma from Ohio, quick question. So I was scheduled on the May, and I know there's a backup waiting list. So when you send out that email, if we get on, it will be from Panama relocation, and are you going to title it anything special?
So what we're going to do, anybody that had a tour that got canceled because of COVID, they're going to get the first notifications. And it'll say from Panama relocation tours, and it's going to say opening for January tour, opening for December tour, or it's going to let you know that there's an opening for the tour.
Okay, I'm going to watch for it.
Yeah.
That's all.
And even before we send that out, I'm going to be sending out emails saying, hey, I think we're going to be able to start doing tours on such and such date and be able to keep, you know, make sure and keep your eye on your email for any openings that might be available. So we'll give you a heads up before we even send it out.
Okay, that was appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in, Norma. Next caller is area code 301.
Hi, Jackie. It's Shahida and Bill. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for calling in today.
Yes, ma'am. I received a WhatsApp text from Anita, our attorney. We, of course, had sent her all of our paperwork, our FSBill paperwork. We sent her copies, and she sent me back a text that said that we're good until October 31st. Is that not true anymore? Our paperwork
is
good. No,
if you've already sent in your paperwork and she's already got it, then she's probably already did the preliminary filing with immigration, and you'll be good till October 31st. You know, we're opening up the borders here in Panama on October the 12th, so my recommendation would be to get into Panama as soon after October 12th as you possibly can. Don't wait till the last minute. And make sure and go to our website at Panama Relocation Tours and click on where it says blog, and there's a brand new article that was written by someone that just came in this last couple of days about the COVID test that's required. So you'll want to check that out. And my next caller, our last caller for the day, is James. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I have to apologize. I missed part of the conversation on depositing money into the banks. So my question is, from what I kind of gathered, your Social Security can go directly into a Panamanian bank. And if you have other income, like let's say rental income, that's through a property management company, instead of them putting it in my, sending it to my bank account in America, could I have that directly deposited into a Panamanian bank account? And is there a limit?
So, No, so there's no limit at all on how much money goes into your Panama bank account. For direct deposit, you can do your Social Security. Some pensions from companies, they will do a direct deposit into a Panama bank account. But when it comes to your rental income, there's not a way to do a direct deposit for that, but it can easily be wired. Once a month, they could do a wire. It would cost about $50 or $60, and there's no limit. It could be $100,000, $200,000. I hope you have $300,000 a month in rental income. And then you can have that all go right into your Panama bank account.
I wish I had your aspirations.
And your dreams, right?
Yeah, seriously. That's all I had. Thank you very much.
Okay. And also, James, one other thing is the other alternative that you have to doing that wire for the rental income is, so let's assume that they put money into your U.S. bank account for your rental income. You can write a check from a U.S. bank and deposit that into your Panama bank account. There's no fee for that, but there is a limit of $3,000 per month. So the solution is just open up two bank accounts in Panama. Then you can put $3,000 check in each one of the banks.
Okay. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. So, hey, guess what, everybody? That was our last question for the day. We got through the whole thing without any power outages. Woohoo! We're doing good. So I want to thank you so much for calling in for the conference call tonight. If anybody has a question, you just didn't feel comfortable asking it live in front of everybody else that's on the call, you're always welcome to call us at 972-496-4500, and we'll be glad to answer your questions. Or you can send an email to info@panamarelocationtours.com, and we'll be glad to answer your questions by email. So next Saturday, we're going to have another conference call. Because we've done two Q&A conference calls back-to-back, next Saturday I'll be interviewing someone for the conference call, and I'll send out an email with more details about it. So thank you so much for calling in today, everybody. Have a good weekend.